Today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Manscaped. Manscaped has just taken off not only, Andy, in the United States of America, but Canada, the UK, across Europe, Australia, South Africa, and Singapore.
Makes sense. People live everywhere.
Yes, we are, and we all need to Manscaped. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. And right now, manscaped.com, you can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FOOTBALLERS. That's 20% off plus free shipping with code FOOTBALLERS.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Another day, another download of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. Back with you Wednesday, August 4th.
The time draws near
for the ball to be kicked up into the air.
Yes, for tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
I'm in, guys. I'm in. What's football?
Let's see how in you are. What's the matchup tomorrow?
Oh yeah. Brother. Cowboys?
Uh-huh.
Against their opponent.
Yes.
What team do Arizona Cardinal fans still despise?
Oh, man. There's a lot of them.
Still is the Seahawks. Still despise.
Why don't you just tell me what movie you're looking for?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, all right, yeah. Holmes didn't get his second foot down.
Oh, you keep saying that.
Well, Jason's just a man who shares truth.
Right, and photographs.
Oh, yeah, that's the best part of it, is the one photograph. Buy or sell on the show today, NFL news to talk about. We've got mailbag questions. We've got Judge Giamatti in the house.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Running the ship over there. How you doing, Judge?
Oh, I'm great.
I feel like we haven't talked to you enough lately.
I'm loving these morning shows.
Oh, okay. Is that because, like, it's not hanging over you for the whole day, like when we record in the afternoons during the off season?
Honestly, it's more of a weird thing. When I go to sleep, I hate that the episode is going to publish when I'm not awake.
Oh, well, you want to watch over it like a mama bird.
Very controlling.
Like to know that it all went smoothly.
When you have Brooks level money, you need to make sure everything is on schedule.
That's right. That's right. I'm glad we rotated back around to his incredible wealth. YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers. Right now is the time. I mean, the season's about to begin. Fantasy drafts are about to happen. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen, whether that's Spotify. You can follow there. Follow on Apple Podcasts. If you like to watch the show, YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers. Subscribe. Click the bell. Always good to get notified when a new episode pops each and every day, thanks to Brooks.
Or our live streams. You know, that those are the unscheduled things that we're going to be popping on through August. And if you want to know when we're there, just make sure you've got those notifications on.
All right, let's kick this off.
Buy or sell, presented by Pristine Auction.
Buy or sell, Jets rookie wide receiver.
Oh, yes.
Camp headline maker, Elijah Moore, 60 receptions. Buy or sell, 60 or more receptions in 2021.
Very timely.
I'll start because I had recently looked at my Jets statistics, and I have Elijah Moore down for 68 receptions.
Wow.
I think he is going to certainly win the job of the starting outside receiver. And I also think he's fantastic. I just think when you look at the most talented wide receivers coming in, obviously Ja'Marr Chase gets all the hype. Rashad Bateman's gotten a lot of love. I feel like Elijah Moore outside of New York has been a little bit more forgotten, and maybe it's because of the quarterback situation.
It's not been forgotten 100%. If you're on Twitter.
No, it is. Jason's dead on. It's because of the rookie Zach Wilson. It's because of the team being rebuilt. I just looked at my projections. I have Elijah Moore with 59 receptions.
Oh, sell. You hate Elijah Moore.
The second most receiving yards on the Jets and tied for the most touchdowns.
Wow, you're giving him the second most.
Yes.
He has the second most for me as well.
Yeah, 59 for 714 and 5 is where I'm at right now. I think you're a year away from being extremely pleased with your dynasty pick of Elijah Moore. I do think that there's the potential you have a back half of year, maybe like A.J. Brown's rookie season, but a little lighter than that. I think the opportunity is there, obviously. And if Zach Wilson does show some stuff in his rookie season, which Joe Burrow did, which Justin Herbert did, obviously the pedigree is there, then Elijah Moore will beat this number.
Yeah, and the reason I think that this number is set here is because over the last decade, there's been 24 times where a rookie's hit 60-plus, and all but two of them were top 36 wide receivers. So it's a really good barometer. Now, in my stats, he's not there. He's my wide receiver 45 because the touchdowns I don't think are going to come from the rookie quarterback. But, Mike, where do you weigh in?
I am an easy sell despite my adoring of the player Elijah Moore. I'm with Andy that I think by next year for Dynasty, like he would, once we hit the off season for the 2022 season, he's going to be the hotness that people are talking about on Dino Twitter. But having said that, with all of the fluff pieces coming out on Twitter, don't overlook that it's, well, Corey Davis and Jameson Crowder are locked in. Everyone's getting hot and bothered by Elijah Moore while he fights to be the wide receiver 3 on the team.
I think he's the clear-cut wide receiver 2 on the team.
See, I would Jameson Crowder, strongly disagree.
Jameson Crowder will be in the slot. Elijah Moore will be – he's playing with the first-team offense now, which is probably –
Well, he's fighting. He's fighting for that job against Keelan Cole.
Correct.
And also –
Denzel Mims has been buried in 6 feet deep.
Oh, man, second-round pick last year, Denzel Mims.
Yeah, I mean,
he's done.
You can't keep talent off the field. Jameson Crowder is – he's tried, true, reliable, and a blanket for, you know – Zach Wilson, security blanket. But I do think that over the second half of the year, Elijah Moore will be clearly the second or the first target on the team. That's where I'm at with it.
And I have, so I'm selling that. I've got him down for right around the 40 completion range. I don't think he makes a fantasy impact.
He'll have that in week one.
According to Twitter,
yes,
he will. Unfortunately, I don't see him having a fantasy impact this year with Corey Davis, the big acquisition. Who Corey Davis is a one-ish. He's a one-ish type of wide receiver. And you
get to face the Dolphins defense twice, the Patriots defense twice, and the Bills defense twice.
Yes.
So six games that I'm not like I wouldn't be excited even if Elijah Moore was flashing to throw him out there.
Yeah, he really is a name to monitor, a name to know, not necessarily a name to draft because even if he has a good, solid rookie season, not outlandishly great, but just a really solid introduction into his NFL career, it's usually coming in the back half of the season. So it's not someone that you're going to be happy you drafted on draft day because week one, week two, week three, he is still a rookie. I think he'll get off to a slower start, but certainly someone you need to be aware of because he's electric.
Andy, would you go Elijah Moore or Terrace Marshall from the Carolina Panthers? Rookie versus rookie.
Yeah, that's a great question. I wonder how close I have them in my stats.
And that's believing in Sam Darnold and a rookie with two established veterans.
I would go Elijah Moore.
Or the rookie-to-rookie combination.
Yeah, I would go Elijah Moore because I don't – as much as I love Terrace Marshall, the player, he should be fourth in total receptions or fifth on that team. Simply because of what you said, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Christian McCaffrey,
right.
Dan Arnold. I'll go with Elijah Moore.
Getting a shout out.
Yeah,
that was very kind.
I was trying that on.
Like you just made a bunch of really good players, and then you just threw Dan Arnold.
Dan Arnold.
Don't forget about the postman, Dan Arnold.
They went out and paid him.
They did. They paid a lot of money. I do agree with you.
And he's only he can't block.
Not at all. There it is.
Thank you.
I do agree with you that he's going to be very involved. It's just funny to hear the, you know,
DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey.
I mean, outside of wide receivers, he's got Christian McCaffrey and Dan Arnold. So let's go.
All right. If only preseason excitement correlated with production at all times for fantasy, that would be something special. That was Buy or Sell from Pristine Auction. You can use the code BALLERS over there at pristineauction.com and get a $10 credit towards some sweet sports memorabilia.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Alarms were sounded yesterday when Matthew Stafford, quarterback for the Rams, left the practice field with a right thumb contusion. We were worried that maybe it was a re-aggravation of an injury that's kept him off the field in previous seasons. But Matthew Betts, our injury expert, as well as eyeballs, seeing him out on the practice field today.
As well as Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Right. If he's back on the field,
he's not concerned,
practicing in full, then there's nothing to be worried about.
Great news.
Also, an update from yesterday's show. The early word on Kenny Galladay's hamstring injury is that it is not considered significant, but you got to watch those hamstrings.
Yes. Malarkey.
Yoo-hoo-hoo.
Of course it's not. I mean, not significant means he has not torn it and he's not out half the season. But it is, to me, a significant fantasy football injury because it's one of those. We see it year after year after year after year. These hamstrings, they come back.
Well, we'll see. I mean, like, are you worried now or are you going to be worried in 2 weeks? Because, like, I'm not worried now because if he's back out on the practice field in a week.
Yeah, no, I'm worried that it crops up again over the next month.
But the question, so you're
will,
not.
Will it change the way you draft him?
That's yes. What I say. If you're not worried right now and you're in a best ball draft, are you taking Kenny Galladay at the ADP or are you going,
No, if I'm drafting today, I will consider the injury.
So then you're, that's a mild concern right
yes,
now.
Yes, that's fair. That's fair to say. I'm looking at it as. Assuming I'm in the back half of August drafts, I'm going to take 3 or 4 more days before I bury him in my rankings or something. But I get it. And look, if it is significant, who's catching the ball in New York? I mean, that's going to be a
catching TBD, but getting the targets is Evan Engram.
Okay.
That's who you go with?
Yeah.
Over Sterling Shepard?
Yes.
Over Saquon?
Saquon will get his targets, but the target leader of last year, yes, will continue to get targets.
Dak Prescott has, quote, taken a step back in his return from a shoulder strain. This worries me.
Boo!
Mike McCarthy says we're being more conservative with the timetable now. He won't throw today. He won't obviously play in the Hall of Fame game.
He wasn't gonna do
the
that
team
anyways.
Is trying to avoid it becoming, quote, something bigger.
Weren't you surprised when he was back on the field, like, ironically,
yes.
Like, I'm a little surprised that Matthew Stafford is back in full the day after. It was how I felt when Dak was, like, just back. It's like, oh, he pulled his thing. It's no problem. It should be a
Whoa,
couple.
Whoa, Nelly.
Yeah.
Whoa,
never
Nelly.
Gave it a tug.
And, oh, no.
Come on.
And
where's that alarm?
I know.
There it is. And when he was back on the field so quickly, it was like, oh, good. There's nothing wrong. Because there's no way they would jeopardize, like, there's no way they would put him back on the field too quickly, but they did.
You said some stuff there.
Yeah,
I didn't really grab it all. Tyreek Hill missed practice with knee tendonitis, according to head coach Andy Reid.
And this is worth monitoring.
Is it?
Yes. If it actually is knee tendonitis. No, that was what Andy, that was the coach, Andy Reid's, said it was knee tendonitis. Maybe it is. Maybe it was just a sore knee. But if it truly is knee tendonitis, this is something to pay attention to.
I am not worried, Jason.
I'm not worried either if this was like a medical report coming out about a degenerative situation. But I think what Andy Reid says, like I talk about my tendonitis from time to time, you know, like my Achilles is.
You're very courageous.
Like I'm dealing. Thank you. I feel like I'm dealing with like tendonitis. I don't know if I've got tendonitis. I just use that word. So I feel like me and Andy Reid have a lot in common.
And that's the point. If he is wrong in just throwing out a word, then it's fine.
A tendonitis is not a significant issue.
Okay.
I mean, at least when I've had fake tendonitis. Right.
Yeah. I mean, my tendonitis has never stopped me from getting out there.
We can all agree that. Fake tendonitis.
If you get 11 tendonitis, that's when it gets real bad.
Oh, no.
Right, dads?
Yes.
Right, dads out there? Frank Reich said Quentin Nelson's going to miss significant time. This is mind-blowing. You know, he's an all-pro guard for the Indianapolis Colts. Carson Wentz just went down with the same injury.
The same exact injury. I mean, you want to talk about having your quarterback's back? You know, it's like, I got you, Carson. I'm coming along with you.
I'm going to break the same bone in my foot.
took a hammer and a chisel to my foot.
So they're both 5 to 12 weeks. If you listen to Quentin Nelson, he will be there in five. If you listen to his comments on it, which were, I mean, he.
It will be funny to see, like, Quentin Nelson get back in five and Wentz get back in 12.
But Jonathan Taylor is taking a hit in the rankings right now. I mean, losing Quentin Nelson to start the year, losing your quarterback to start the year. Yeah, I mean, he's down my rankings considering I was the highest. At one point, he was number four this offseason for me. But I think he belongs even behind the Aaron Jones right now.
Would
you agree with that?
Yeah, he's actually outside of my – he's my running back 13 as of this moment, which
wow, you put him down that
the
far?
Lowest he's been, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I still think he's fantastic. He's great. You know, running back 13 is not a scrub by any means. But when you lose your quarterback and lose your the best offensive lineman in the league, I think it's going to have an effect on the offense.
Phillip Rivers, P. River, says he is going to stay ready. He has not shut down shut the door and returning to the NFL. Jason, this is exciting news for you personally.
Look, the P. River's not dried up completely. Phillip is out there ready to
stream again.
Do you think he could play approximately 5 to 12 weeks for the Indianapolis Colts?
It's funny. That's what I thought too. Like the timeline doesn't work because he's focused on his coaching right now.
Yeah.
So that's why he's like later in the year he's willing to come back. But it is ironic that it's like the Colts could use you just for a little bit.
All right. That was today's news and notes brought to you by Sleeper. The very best place to host your league. And I love Sleeper because it gets you connected with your league mates. And that is something we've talked about on the show for a long time. Like communication.
Yes, great communication on the platform, plus alerts and just always updating. They're a great place to play your fantasy league.
All right, without further ado, let's jump into the mailbag. Mike, primed up over there?
Of course.
Mailbag. Mailbag.
It's been a while since you haven't had a flourish at the end of your mailbag.
Well, we did. We had the most sensational mailbag of all time. You were off gallivanting around
for the anniversary.
The lake.
Yeah.
And Jason and I nailed a very glam rock 80s harmony. On the mailbag.
And we said we hadn't practiced, but we've been years working on this every Wednesday.
Well, Jason, you're not supposed to reveal
in
that.
In the garage.
Every Wednesday you go over there to practice the mailbag.
That's right. We play a little rock band.
We don't have that clip, do we?
Not ready.
I mean, it exists.
It's out there on the socials.
I haven't heard it, so I've got to tune in.
Thank you for supporting the show.
I was gallivanting. visit the website if you have a question for us. Click the submit a question button. You can also dial our voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. Apparently, though, if you dial the voicemail hotline and you mess up, you might still make the air. So be careful. Brooks is willing and able to embarrass you publicly. 302-464-TFFB. All right, let's begin with the voicemail.
Hey, Ballers, I've got a draft coming up this Saturday, and I was wondering who I should take on a late-round flyer. A.J. Dillon, Zach Moss, or Nyheim Hines? Thanks.
Interesting. I think all three – I think you could make an argument for why each one of those guys should be the first one taken. But the guy that
what
I
was
will,
the first name?
A.J. Dillon.
Dillon, okay.
A.J. Dillon, Zach Moss, or Nyheim Hines?
I will personally take Nyheim Hines out first, even though he was fantastic last year. He's a great pass catching back. With the problems that we see with, we just talked about Jonathan Taylor moving him down the offensive line.
Let me
and
jump
the fact
in here
that,
real quick, yeah. though. Offensive line problems.
Yeah, actually move him up.
Jacob Eason as the quarterback, who is athletically very immobile. I mean, when you go look at his profile, he is a statue quarterback. That is a Phillip Rivers archetype that could lead to more dump-offs.
I agree that he's still going to get volume of passing. In a PPR league, he's someone you could plug in a pinch. But the upside that we saw last year with touchdowns, and he was really great for fantasy. I don't think that's going to happen while the offense is – I think we all say Jacob Eason is worse for the offense. The loss of Quentin Nelson is worse. So whereas the Buffalo Bills offense, the Green Bay Packers offense, those are outstanding. So many touchdowns to be had. And that's kind of where I'm going here is I'm looking at the touchdowns. So to me, it would lean towards A.J. Dillon getting more work, being involved in the goal line.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I think it's the easiest way to pick up fantasy points is through the passing game. And so for running backs that are sharing a backfield, I will lean Hines right now. Mike?
I will go with A.J. Dillon.
I was hoping you took Zach Moss and we gave no help.
Oh, yeah. Not only is that one of the best drops that we have.
Which is the only reason you made the pick.
Yeah, truly. But like the upside of Zach Moss, so all of these players need something to happen in their favor, except Zach Moss. It's not a running back who is in front of Zach Moss. It's his quarterback. Like if it's for A.J. Dillon, if Aaron Jones misses time, A.J. Dillon gets a massive upgrade on top of I believe that the team will use him, and you could start him in a pinch at the flex. Nyheim Hines is there too, but if Jonathan Taylor misses time, then Hines doesn't skyrocket to me. He gets an upgrade, and Zach Moss doesn't have that option in front of him. Now, there is, out of Buffalo, there is some hype. People are more excited for Zach Moss as he was starting to get more integrated in the offense at the end of the year, and then he got hurt. So we don't know what the real upside is for Zach Moss in that offense. But I'm taking my late round. You're shooting for the stars, so I'll go with A.J. Dillon.
I have Moss one spot ahead of Hines right now, and I have Moss with 8 touchdowns on the ground in Buffalo, which is
how many rushing touchdowns for the Stallion, Josh Allen?
Let's take a little look. See, 7.
Okay.
So I do believe that Moss will get the opportunities in that offense. 170 carries is what I have him down for, which is not a ton. It could go higher than that. So there is the possibility, but that's Moss 34, Hines 35, Dillon 46 right now. But you can see all of our rankings for those three guys on the website. One more. I guess we don't have another voicemail. Let's go to Instagram. Is Brandon Cooks a draft value? Very little competition in that wide receiver room. This is from Tracy Skiles on Instagram.
I think he is. And I started the offseason, if you've been with us the entire time, once we finished our rankings, I was really upset with how high Brandon Cooks was in my rankings because he's on a terrible offense with an unknown quarterback situation. And, you know, I didn't like that. I moved him down, and since then, he's kind of meandered his way between the two spots. But in reality, he is the only wide receiver of note there. He is an actual good wide receiver.
Yes.
He gets open, he gets targets, he gets long touchdowns. He's done it for everyone he's ever played for, and he's played for a lot of different quarterbacks, although they've all been, like, I don't know, Hall of Fame level quarterbacks,
not
Brady and Breeze.
Not Jared Goff.
That's true.
But Jared Goff, that's what it comes down to. What are the Houston Texans doing at the quarterback position? Out of camp right now.
Praying.
Out of camp right now, they are preparing for Tyrod Taylor to be the starter. Deshaun Watson, when he showed up so he didn't get fined, but they're using him just like as a bit player out there. They're setting him up at safety. Now he has
he's not in camp now, though.
He has an injury, which...
Wink!
Yeah, that really feels like one of those injuries that's super minor, but the player is taking it as an excuse to be out there. On top of that, Watson has declared, on top of all the 22 accusations that Watson is dealing with, before that, he had already told the team he doesn't want to be there, and he's saying he will not play for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, that's what the injury is. It's his ego.
To me, it's Tyrod Taylor. And can Tyrod Taylor sustain Brandon Cooks at any level of fantasy value? That's where it becomes really questionable.
Let me give you the guys he's going around and see if we think that he is more of a value in that range. Because right now he's being drafted at the 8-10, so almost the ninth round.
Wide receiver 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very late.
The guys right next to him are Jarvis Landry and Jalen Waddle. So if you've got a pick between Brandon Cooks, Jarvis Landry, and Jalen Waddle, who are you taking?
I'll take Brandon Cooks.
I'll take Brandon Cooks.
I will as well.
Would you rather have Brandon Cooks or or your pick of the litter of Baltimore wide receivers?
I would rather have Brandon Cooks.
Oh, man.
I think it's going to get messy. Unless I can have,
no,
Mark,
can't have
Andrews.
Mark Andrews.
Okay, then yeah.
Well, the latest report, Marquise Brown, wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, the presumed number one, he had sustained an injury in training camp, and now they're saying he's going to be out at least for a little bit, and that kind of stoked the flames of which wide receiver would step up. They just drafted a first-round wide receiver, Rashad Bateman, who out of Minnesota, who's a great player. Can he become the number one for
that team? I don't think that team's ever looked at Hollywood as Alpha One. Does that make sense?
They've
looked at him as great outside field stretching weapon.
Yeah, and he's always been that, and he'll always be that. So, like, to me, there is still room for
Sammy Watkins.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, that was the name I was going to go to, is do you take Sammy Watkins or do you take Brandon Cooks?
Actually, that's not an answer. I'll take Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I'll take Brandon Cooks as well. All right, before we get to more questions, want to thank today's sponsors, Indochino, longtime sponsor of the show and an awesome company. If you are in the market for good-looking, tailored suits, in fact, ever since I got my Indochino, every time I'm watching anything on TV and I see someone in a suit, I'm like, that's not tailored. Like, you know, bunches
right.
in the wrong
yeah,
spots.
Yeah.
Did put Devin Booker on blast for not having a tailored
suit.
He
looked stupid, and he's up. I mean, he's a handsome fella, but he looked dumb in that suit. He needs to go to Indochino. I literally just ordered a couple weeks ago two tailored shirts, not just suits. You can get shirts. You can get pants. Once you go in and get measured, it's so easy to have perfectly tailored clothing. Really nice suits that start as cheap as $399.
Oh man, what if Jonathan Taylor got tailored?
Oh yeah, I'm sure he's up on the tailoring.
Oh,
that's like in his lineage, I would imagine. So, look, you can have it completely customized, every detail. They are fantastic. You want an Indochino suit, and right now they're open at select Nordstrom stores. So look. If you want a great fitting and personalized suit, go to find your nearest location at Indochino.com, and you can get $50 off a purchase of $399 or more using the code FOOTBALLERS at checkout. That's $50 off a purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com, promo code FOOTBALLERS.
Also, guys, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. It's summer again.
Oh, I know it. I know it.
Things we're unfortunately aware.
Things are kind of hot. Nights
very hot.
Nights are very hot, and it's hard to get sleep when you're in some hot sheets.
That is true.
Enter Brooke Linen Crisp Sheets that breathe and keep you cool. I have a great testimony. Like, we all have Brooke Linen sheets, right? We've been sleeping on them. But then, like, we left town, and some people house sat for us, and so we swapped the sheets out. And then...
Yeah, you're not sharing that.
And then they washed the other sheets that we want and put them back on the bed.
Oh.
So then when we were really tired, we went...
Idiots.
We went and slept on the not Brooke Linen sheets. Oh. And genuinely, that it only happened once. Like, I was like, that's never happening again. We put them right back on. Look, they are just... There's a difference in the way you sleep. And the Brooke Linen sheets are incredible. They have something for every comfort need. So, you know, ideal for a seasonal refresh because they're launching new products and colors and patterns, and they're buttery soft, and it's great. Give yourself the comfort refresh you deserve and get it for less at Brooke Linen. Go to brooklinen.com and use the promo code FANTASY to get $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's brooklinen.com and enter promo code FANTASY for $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's brooklinen.com, promo code FANTASY. All right, let's turn the page here.
Ooh.
Got some Travis Kelce questions. Zeus conundrums. Instagram question from Abozer119. For real, though, who are you taking before Travis Kelce in the first round? The people need to know.
So I'm taking true three-down running backs. So
let me go through them.
Let's go.
Let's do it. McCaffrey.
Yes.
Cook.
Yes. Yep.
Kamara.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Mixon.
No.
Elliott.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Barkley.
Yes.
I think
he'll get off to a slow start, but I'm still taking.
Yeah, it's probably worth it.
His upside is higher.
Chubb.
Man. No.
The Saquon Barkley and Nick Chubb line is so difficult for me. Of Nick Chubb not being a true three-down running back, but what my belief in the Cleveland Browns is for this year, and the newly wealthy man, Nick Chubb. I think he's going to
have that coin's going to weigh him down, Mike.
Ooh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, they make you carry it on the field.
Is that part of his contract?
It is.
That he's just going to have, like, the giant bag of gold coins.
It's in his pocket. It's really big pocket.
It's just
spilling
out as he runs.
Yeah.
Oh, man, run behind him.
Imagine that. Like, he'll never get tackled.
It's true. They'll be picking it up.
If you have
huh?
gold coins piling out of your pockets.
Oh, yeah. They're not paying attention.
If I'm a defender, if I'm a safety, you're darn right.
He's
going to
look like Jason leaving a buffet out there on the field.
Waddling down the field.
So you got to line your pockets with the plastic bags so you can take it home.
Jonathan Taylor?
No.
All right. Austin Ekeler?
No.
No.
Okay.
So I think we found our spot.
You're kind of maybe 7, 8, 9?
Are you taking any of the wide receivers? Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill?
I am not.
I go back and forth on that. Right now, I'm a not.
Okay, as in you're taking Kelsey.
Correct.
All right, which was the next question was, are you taking wide receivers before him? How about this one, just to put a ball on the Kelsey discussion. Is it a reach to grab him in a half PPR at number 4? I guess you'd say yes.
A little bit. I mean, we're just
but
giving
fine?
The...
fine? Like, yeah, you're like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. We're giving the advice of how we play. It's still your team, and you should make the decision that you think is the best for your fantasy team and your best shot at winning a championship. And Travis Kelce is a, like, how does Travis Kelce not live up to expectations for fantasy football? He gets hurt. The other players, you know, things can change. A scheme can change for
Saquon Barkley could get thrown to a lot less.
Alvin Kamara, the offense. And I know, Andy, you don't want to bet against Kamara, and I don't either, but maybe the offense is just really bad, and he's getting a bunch of volume, but he's not getting any level of touchdowns. Things can go wrong for the other players, the running backs, that are not injury-related, where I think there's nothing outside of injury that can stop Travis Kelce.
And if you're just joining us for the first time, like now in August, coming back, getting ready for your redraft leagues, like we've talked a lot about this over the offseason, but the headline here is that we've been very comfortable taking Kelce in the first round.
Yeah.
Because of what he represents from a very high floor perspective, any player can get injured, so you kind of throw that out. And truthfully, that's almost like the injury discussion. Kelce has proven to be a very durable player over a long period of time. So
yes.
You say that.
I'm talking about his brother, Jason
Kelce.
Oh,
good. Yeah, Jason Kelce, model of health.
I'm not sure that's true. But, yeah, we're all very comfortable taking Kelce in the first round, which is not something we've said in years before necessarily. But it's a wonderful thing having him on your roster and having that weekly advantage at tight end. I love this question. It speaks to the things that fantasy players are facing in this fine month of draft prep. Instagram question from Belmont Drew. Can I draft Austin Ekeler at 7? Can I? He wants permission or someone to blame.
You are both allowed, and I don't think that that is a terrible spot to draft him, especially if you are in a PPR league. Austin Ekeler could catch 100 passes this year. His offense projects to be great. His offensive line went from one of the worst to possibly one of the best. I absolutely love Austin Ekeler. He's always been great for fantasy. He does a lot when he touches the ball. He does not project to have a lot of touchdowns. That's never been his thing, but he's been a top 12 guy plenty of, you know, times and stretches without getting in the end zone. So I am 100% fine taking Ekeler that high if that's the guy that you are targeting, you know, that you want.
Yeah, there are – it's just interesting when people – when you discuss the chalk of the first round, right?
Yeah.
The players that are supposed to be there. Like, I read somebody – it was on Reddit. They were breaking down, like, this whole, why on earth is Saquon Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott always ahead of Aaron Jones? Like – Aaron Jones has outperformed them with efficiency, like even with less carries for multiple years. And, you know, Saquon's got all these question marks and Zeke's had his yards per carry go down 3 straight years. And
well, it's because his ADP is lower. I mean, that's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler, like these players, when they're on the field, this is what I said yesterday, where it's like a player can come out and have a great second half of the year as a rookie in the year at running back 25, but he was the running back 6 during the back half of the year and distort everything. Like, just be willing to, in this range, go with your gut. Don't have regrets as a fantasy player. Don't go with someone else because of a list.
Right.
Because we have a list. If you have a conviction about a player that's in that realm, mm-hmm. in that tier, or close to it.
In fact, I'm seeing that Austin Eckler is actually my running back 8.
There you
go. So he is not available for you to. That would be idiotic to take him at 7 because he is lower in my list than that.
And Aaron, I'm with you. Aaron Jones is disrespected for fantasy purposes. I mean, he was doubted, I think rightfully doubted last year due to how the points came and the 2 years ago when it was like he was either winning you a week or he was losing you a week single-handedly. So I think that the doubt last year was an okay thing to be skeptical of him, but I think that needs to go away. Like the way you feel about Alvin Kamara of like, it's stupid to bet against Alvin Kamara. I think it is stupid to bet against Aaron Jones.
And they're a very good comparison, those two players, because of their efficiency and the fact that they are like they're legitimately the best athlete on the field when they're out on the field. So I think that there are just things. There are like 5 checkboxes of comfort for running backs for fantasy players.
Right.
And so certain players check all those boxes, and certain players are missing one or two. Like for Aaron Jones, it's 300 carry potential or something. So he doesn't have that checkbox, so the comfort level goes down, yet he produces every year.
Yep.
And Eckler's in that category too where, okay, can he be a 3-down back?
Right, and then you have Derrick Henry who checks a bunch of boxes, but he doesn't check the huge one of pass catching. He's a grinder, and I mean, it's weird to bet against Derrick Henry, but what if the Titans' offense, what if it falls off this year? They lost their offensive coordinator. They're going to, you know, try and keep a similar system, but it's still a new human in control of dialing in the plays. It, like, things can go wrong.
I agree. Anything to add, Jason?
No, I think it's
anything
I think
to
that
take
this
away?
Is an important I think it's a lot there's a lot to take away. It's an important way to look at the first round and make your own decisions based on the information you're getting. How we view the first round is mission critical. The you know, that's where obviously the guys that are going to win you the most leagues are found, those centerpieces. And so making sure you're not just doing what a list says to do, but you've got your rationale as to why you believe what you're doing there, I think it'll make you a better fantasy football player.
That's the goal right here. Give you the opinions and you make your decisions. Brian from Facebook says, in a redraft half-point league, would it be okay to have both Zeke and CeeDee Lamb on the same team?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I think in a redraft league, you cap a little bit of your upside, right? They cannot have a touchdown on the same play outside of wackiness. In a best ball league, unless you're doing a super stack with the quarterback as well, I probably wouldn't, because you know, in a redraft league, consistency and just winning a one-on-one matchup is what you're after every single week, and having both the running and rushing attack from a fantastic offense will really provide you some consistency.
It's interesting because that question comes up a ton during this month every
sure.
year, where like people, they want to know if it's okay to have two players on the same team.
Yeah, especially a running back and a wide receiver. Like Jason said, you do limit your upside because they can't both score a touchdown at the exact same time, but they project to be a very high-scoring offense. They're in a division where the only defense that I'm truly worried about is Washington. Now, I know that the Giants' secondary is probably a little bit underrated, but 2 games against the Giants, 2 games against the Eagles, I mean, that's... And the defense for Dallas, I don't think that they're going to completely turn things around from what they had last year. So they should have to be a more high-powered offense to win games.
Twitter question from Sabian Wendell. I'm not sure who to take with the 3rd overall pick. Kamara scares me because of Taysom Hill not giving him targets. And Zeke at 3 is a bit of a reach, I feel. Maybe it's Derrick Henry. I read this one in part because I just want to reiterate what I said about Kamara before. I am like, Alvin Kamara can be the number one running back in football this season, and I don't think players should doubt him. I read nothing, almost nothing at all, into the Taysom Hill sample size of those games last year. They started figuring it out. Kamara is too valuable of a weapon, and I'm telling you guys, they have nobody. I mean, right now, I mean, I don't think this wasn't in the news, right? The Traquan Smith, do we have an update on that situation? Because yesterday during the day, someone said he got hurt.
I don't think we have an update yet. Brooks, find one.
So, yeah, see if you know. Brooks, feel free to chime in if you find out the status of Traquan.
Were either of you guys called in for a workout?
I was.
Yeah,
I got a phone.
Me too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wait, what?
Sorry, Mike. You're not the athlete here.
You did break your thumb when I threw you a pass in flag football.
That's only because you hit me right in the hands.
That's true. My bad.
Whose fault is that?
My bad.
That was on Andy, for sure.
You needed Mitch Trubisky in that situation.
When you say that Alvin Kamara can easily be the running back one, I think it's important to remember he was the running back one last year, and he had Drew Brees gone for part of that, and he lost Michael Thomas for half of that
year.
This
is what I'm saying.
Not only that, remember last year's Drew Brees. He was criticized almost every single week. People watching him going, what's up with Drew Brees? Why won't he drive the ball down the field? That was not the elite version of Drew Brees last year. Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston can give you very close to the level of production.
Yeah, and Alvin Kamara, I mean, just look at the game log last year. Like, if you have the UDK, and you can see the consistency charts. I mean, it's mind-blowing how good Alvin Kamara was despite the ups, downs, quarterback changes. And then you go, oh, well, let's just flip over to his career. Well, he's never not finished as a running back one.
2 years ago, it might have been 3 years ago. I don't know, with the COVID year in there. Time
right.
is a construct. I remember being a little bit down on Alvin Kamara because some of the metrics about his efficiency made you question whether he could reproduce that. And then in week one, quarter one, NFL action starts, and I just immediately, I was like, I am an idiot. This dude is untackleable. He's just so smart and shifty and good. We haven't seen anything on film to say that he's lost an ounce of that yet. And the nice thing is, with these efficient runners versus these 370 carry backs, they can hold up a little bit longer. They can be shifty and quick and still have their legs about them at this point into their career, early in their second contract.
Traquan Smith not present at practice today, left with an unspecified injury yesterday. Oh my goodness. Deontay Harris also not at practice today, which was
that's why we got the call.
That's the voice. I got a voicemail. I didn't answer. I screened Mr. Payton.
Mine was through my agent. You must not have an agent.
I did not. 81, 81, 81, 83. The 4 years of
Jason, you're never going to believe this. We finally got our first call. I know you've employed me for 10 years.
Now's
my time, man.
Yeah. The round mound of touchdown.
That's what they call me.
Facebook question: is Michael Carter a value in the eighth round? Hey, let's do a temperature check on Michael Carter, rookie running back, New York Jets. Talked about him quite a bit this offseason. He's a popular sleeper candidate in some circles. Where are you at with him right now?
So I feel like I'm at about the same spot I was coming into the season. I like him. I think he is a talented running back, and he landed in a good spot where I believe he becomes the one. Now, it will be a timeshare. This is not a workhorse running back. So you're talking about a guy who will be splitting some time, even if he's the first man up. He can't catch the ball, but he's not a supreme athlete. I think his quickness, his shiftiness is great. His long speed is a little bit lacking. When you look at an offense that projects to be bottom eight,
sure,
let's say, confidently, if you're a bottom eight offense with a split backfield, you don't have the long speed for the 80-yard touchdowns. He's a guy that I think will be usable in a flex, but he's not someone that I see as a high probability of really being that breakout rookie running back just because of the team and the offense and the rookie quarterback and the situation around him.
All right. Great question here from Instagram. Does Baker Mayfield have a chance at becoming an efficient Ryan Tannehill-style quarterback for fantasy?
Yes.
Which would be touchdown efficiency.
Yes, I believe he absolutely has it. Over the second half, we saw him really starting to understand the playbook, and that was without Odell Beckham Jr. And the thoughts on Odell Beckham Jr., the public opinion, while it is sour for fantasy football, I still think that Odell Beckham is a good player. Jarvis is very efficient. And then I don't know if you guys have seen the it's training camp fluff. I get it. But Donovan Peoples-Jones is really starting to draw a lot of nice comments out of training camp. And you look back at what Baker was able to do with Peoples-Jones last year. I believe the stat was he had a near perfect passer rating when throwing at Peoples-Jones. If you have him emerge as a true deep threat, Odell Beckham comes back and is...
You still got Mr. Hooper, right?
Yeah, Austin Hooper is there as well in the middle of the field. So, yes, I think that Baker Mayfield has the talent and the players around him to make that breakout jump.
All right, before we shut things down today, tomorrow's episode is going to be a mock draft episode. But here's what I want to do, Brooksy. I want to throw a poll up today.
Mm.
And I want to know if the people want us to draft together as one team, because we do a lot of mock drafts that way, and we break down the picks. It gives us more time to talk strategy, or go head-to-head-to-head again. Ooh. Can we do that? And then we'll just go with whatever the people say.
I mean, united we stand.
We'll go with what the people's Jones say. All right?
Sounds great.
All right. We'll put that up on Twitter, at the FF Ballers. One last reminder here before we close things down as well. If you're brand new to the show, if you're looking for a resource, a tool, something that will help you get ready for your draft, quickly download probably the last 6 months worth of strategy talk and personnel changes and free agency and all of our projections and rankings for every single player, you want to check out the Ultimate Draft Kit. A lot of work goes into it. It's available on the web and in an app form. You get access to all of it at ultimatedraftkit.com. And that's our baby. We've worked on that for years and years, and it is a well-received and proven resource to help you win your league. So very, very excited about that this year. I think it's better than it's ever been. And so I look forward to continuing to update and improve that over the month of August. All right, that is it for today's episode. Like I said, mock draft coming tomorrow. Regardless of the format, it'll be a good time.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FF Ballers.